When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. I said a Thursday, but not just a usual Thursday. A Thursday that is draft day in the National Football League. Night number one, round number one of the 2025 NFL Draft tonight in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in the shadows of Lambeau Field, as we will see the future of the NFL take shape and take the stage at this year's draft. Plenty of draft discussions, best bets, wagers for you, where the markets have moved here on draft day to paint a picture of what we will see in tonight's opening round. A recap of a triple header of game twos last night around the association in the NBA playoffs. The main burning question for all of you here in this opening hour: will Donnie Wrightside even be watching 2 minutes of NBA regular season basketball next year? It all comes down to the Houston Rockets. We'll go around Major League Baseball and so much more over these 3 hours, DRS, live right here on TEL.
All right, so basketball for one night here. We held the torch for Houston, and they waxed Golden State, as they should, as a 2 seed versus a 7 seed. I'm very excited for that, and the energy is high. But just as the energy increases for the NBA, we have a triple header tonight. One of those games will start at 7. The other two games, 9:30 and later tonight. So again, the NBA, you don't want us watching is what you're saying. You want us focused on the draft, and that's okay tonight.
And maybe so. That could be what we see. 7 p.m. Eastern time, the first playoff game in the Motor City for the Pistons since 2019. A series evened at a game apiece. 9:30 in Oklahoma City between the Thunder, in Memphis between the Thunder and the Grizz. That's basically already over. And then the nightcap in Los Angeles, game three between the Clippers and the Nuggets. But while you're maybe tuning into some NBA playoff basketball, your main priority on this Thursday, the 2025 NFL Draft. Draft day is here, DRS, in the main storylines as I see it, in the parking lots of Lambeau Field. The limited movement we have seen. All 32 NFL franchises, for the first time in the common draft era, dating back to 1976, hold on to their original first-round pick as we enter draft day. Where will Shedeur Sanders go? Is his draft stock on a slide as we get ready for tonight's opening round? And how about the Heisman runner-up, Ashton Jeanty? Are we about to see our first top five running back in the NFL draft since 2018 in Saquon Barkley carried that mantle? A lot to dive into here in our draft discussions on the Early Line.
My main takeaway from my guy Ashton Jeanty last year was dominant running back, chasing records, going to be a very good running back once he gets to the NFL. But you know what? It's hard for a guy to move up even a couple notches higher, Ben, in the final 48 or so hours. Do you know why he moved up a couple notches? Not because he's fantastic at running the football, that he had a great combine, that he lifts a lot of weights or he's fast. It's the fact that he actually came out and he's honest. Man, I'm in Green Bay. There's a stadium in the middle of a neighborhood. Yeah, there ain't much to do here. Oh, yes, Ashton Jeanty. This is why Green Bay should not be hosting the NFL draft tonight. It should be somewhere else. Ashton Jeanty, you actually should be the number one overall pick because your head is screwed on straight for me. How about that, Ben? How about that take?
Donnie Wrightside tried to tank Ashton Jeanty's Heisman campaign a season ago. He finished runner-up. Now he is advocating for Ashton Jeanty to be the number one overall pick.
He
will not
be.
That will be Cam Ward at minus 50,000. Green Bay will be an incredible sight for the 2025 NFL draft. But again, our main priority here in this opening hour outside of the NFL draft, Donnie Wrightside's NBA fandom. Will he even be watching just a few minutes of the regular season next year? It depended on H-Town. It depended on the referendum that DRS set for the Rockets. Could they win in game two as the two seed on their own home floor? A resounding yes to all of those questions. Houston evens up its opening round set against Golden State at a game all with a 109-94 win. The Rockets cover as a 3.5-point home favorite.
Jimmy Butler got knocked out early in the game. No excuses, Golden State, at this point here, as the Rockets were the better team last night. And understand this. I don't know if this was a bigger win in my life. Was it the Eagles Super Bowl win against the Kansas City Chiefs or last night's win for the Houston Rockets in round number one against the 7 seed? I needed this. I really did. The crowd was hyped. You needed to get after it. They did that last night. The Rockets, evening up 1-1, go back to Golden State. Understanding the task at hand, you can't lose to a 7 seed. That is embarrassing. The 7 seed was the favorite massively over you last night for the series price, even though they weren't even favored to win that game. Thank you, Rockets. I am completely invested in this series, and the Rockets played the part of a 2 seed last night, beating a lowly 7 seed, and I enjoyed it.
About 9.5 minutes into that opening quarter, a scary collision for Jimmy Butler and Amen Thompson that sent Jimmy Butler to the ground. He was out for the entirety of the game after that. An MRI is set. Game number 3 in San Francisco on Saturday night. Jason Tatum missed his first ever playoff game in his Celtics career, and Boston still handled business on its home floor as the odds expected. 109-100. The Celtics take that commanding 2-0 series lead over Orlando because of a Paolo Banchero layup with about 9 ticks remaining. The Magic cover as a 10.5-point road underdog.
Yeah, he's showing up there. And also, it was one of those where we didn't think Orlando would win this game in Boston. But stand up for yourselves, guys. Getting over double digits with the best player on your team, the other team's out, handle your business. They lost that game. But technically, Ben, they handled their business and got the cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
196 and a hook. Playoff basketball, brother. That was the over-under. Yeah. It does push to the over. Boston, the reigning NBA champs and the Eastern Conference favorites, but not the one seed out east. That's the Cleveland Cavaliers, and much like the Celtics, a 2-0 series lead. And much like Boston, Cleveland did not cover on its home floor last night. But Donovan Mitchell has been great. Back-to-back 30 pieces for the Cavs. 121-112. Cleveland wins. Miami covers as a 12-point road dog.
There you go. Loved it yesterday. Over double digits again. A team that should be much more rested at this on an even playing field. Do we expect them to beat the Cavaliers outright? No. But I thought they could stay within double digits, and they did last night. The Heat are probably going to be a gentleman sweep, if not going to get swept in this series, because why?
Yeah.
Cleveland is really good. But at least Miami showed up last night and kept that game within striking distance.
We'll look at these series in this opening hour before we turn our attention to the draft. Some Major League Baseball yesterday. Make it 7 straight for the Amazons in a sweep over divisional nemesis in the Philadelphia Phillies. Walking it off in the home half of the 10th. The Mets scoring two runs in the home half of the 10th. Starling Marte delivering the game-winning RBI. Pete Alonso, who knocked in Francisco Lindor to tie the game in the bottom of the 10th, scores that game-winning run.
Philly should have won this game multiple times, just like multiple chances in this series. If you can't drive runners in with when they're in scoring position with less than, you know, one out, you're going to get beat. Case in point, extra innings. You get the lead runner in. And you say, okay, let me blow this game wide open. Out, out, nobody scores. One more base hit, the Phillies win that game. But they haven't hit all series. The Mets were clutch in the series. That's why they swept the Phillies.
On draft eve, the Lions make Kirby Joseph, who led the NFL last year with 9 interceptions, the highest paid safety ever, 4 years, $86 million. The Stars win their second consecutive game over the Avs in OT. Both the Caps and the Kings take a 2-0 series lead. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rockets referendum, as it has been set here on the Early Line. The number 2 seed in the Western Conference with home floor advantage in their opening round playoff series against the Golden State Warriors. Playoff pedigree, championship experience, that's Golden State. But the 2 seed after 52 regular season wins, that's Houston. So what wins the day in the postseason? That has been Donnie Wrightside's task. 4-H down the entirety of this opening round. Not just to start off the playoffs, DRS, but certainly with a focus in game number 2. We set the stakes early yesterday. If the Rockets lost in game 2, each of their 2 home games to start off this series, Donnie was done. Regular season, throw it out the window in the NBA. It means diddly squat. Well, the Rockets delivered a win last night, 109-94, beating the Dubs by 15 points and covering as a 3.5-point home favorite. The regular season still has some significance in the eyes of DRS.
Absolutely. And we see that graphic up there. It says round 1, game number 2. That should just be for the rest of the way. Round 1 referendum, because this is the only series that matters to me in round number 1. Sure, we're cheering other games on. We're betting them. We're doing well, prop bets and all that. But I'm so focused on this series because of why nobody cares about the regular season. This would be case in point if you had a blowout victory for the Warriors. Why watch anything in the regular season? Now, we don't even get enjoyment out of it. And the players don't care until the playoffs are here. And also you take a look at when we're absolutely sizing up these lines, particularly the totals. Regular season, 250, 240, 230. Postseason, 210, 205, 195. It shows you. It's a completely different game where the players are carefree in the regular season on a night-to-night base, and then absolutely in the playoffs when it means something. Now, understand this. I do know what it means to have one of your best players not finish the game, which means, hey, play late into the third quarter, fourth quarter. You knock Jimmy Butler out of the game right away as their second best player, and it clearly affected them. As we talk about the trade that came over for Jimmy Butler, how well the Warriors played down the stretch and how well they played particularly defensively in game number one, which leaned on Steph Curry making shots and also Jimmy Butler. He wasn't there, but there's no excuses in the playoffs. You could ease the Rockets. Oh, good. Jimmy's out. We'll take this game easily. They didn't. And what did we want to see from them, Ben? Quarter number one, 28-18, a 10-point advantage for Houston, which they extended by halftime. That's exactly the sign of a well-coached team that's listening to their coach and understanding the moment where you have to have a good start to get the vibes going in your own building to bring the crowd into the equation. They did exactly that. I was impressed by Houston, 109-94, good defense there, limiting Steph Curry only to 20 points on 6 of 15 shooting. I needed that performance out of the Rockets, and I got it.
Yes, you certainly did, DRS. Let's start with the Jimmy Butler incident and that scary injury. About 9.5 minutes into the opening quarter, Amen Thompson on a floater through the lane tried to have a basket, was following his own shot off the miss. There was some contact down low. Because of it, Amen Thompson kind of undercut the legs of Jimmy Butler, who was skying for the rebound. He fell hard onto the floor. Now, there's some conversation about if the play was dirty. Was Amen Thompson intentional? I don't believe so, but I'll leave that up to your own synopsis. Regardless, Jimmy Butler did not return from that early moment in the opening quarter. And when Jimmy goes out there, DRS, in game number one, scores 25 points, combines for 56 of the 95 the Warriors scored in the opening game to take game number one on the road alongside Steph Curry. Of course, that is going to leave a large, large void. One, Golden State was unable to overcome. Meanwhile, for Jimmy Butler, he will undergo an MRI. They are calling it a pelvic contusion of sorts. We'll see about his status for game number three, a few days off as we head to San Francisco on Saturday night. Now, outside of that scary incident early, DRS, what was one of the main storylines that we said? Who had to be better in game number two? Maybe Houston's best scorer in Jalen Green. Only 7 points in his playoff debut on Sunday in game one. 38 points behind 8 triples last night. That was one of the huge differences for Houston, winning game two by 15 and covering as a 3.5-point home favorite.
Exactly. You have to play well in your own arena. You need to get those vibes going early, and he certainly did that. And you said taking 18 three-point shot attempts. I love it. Making 18, I'll take that each and every time for a plus 19 and 38 total points. Sets the stage there for game number three when they head into hostile territory in Golden State. But also, the defense once again from Houston. Anytime you're holding any team, let alone the Golden State Warriors, I don't care playoffs or regular season, to under 100 points, you did your job. So once Jimmy Butler went out, you're sort of trying to find guys to see if they can step up and be that B-roll player. Podziemski before the game, hearing that he might not even play because of maybe a stomach illness, looks like he probably should have sat that one out. Didn't score a single point, missed every field goal attempt, and didn't register a statistic. We'll see what Golden State has moving forward, but also understand this. Like, we're now looking at an injury situation on Jimmy Butler, where if she's down for an extended period of time, how well they played down the stretch without Jimmy Butler, I don't know if they can hold up against the Rockets. They need Jimmy back as soon as they can get him, and hopefully that Saturday night we get some clean MRIs, but maybe no worse for the wear, maybe just a little bit banged up at that point, but they need Jimmy back in the biggest way.
Yes, they certainly do. Leading scorer last night for the Warriors, that was Steph Curry. He had 20 points, but 6 of 15 from the floor. 4 of those 6 made field goals from beyond the arc. Again, 38 from Jalen Green. Alperen Şengün continues to be great in this series. Was Houston's leading scorer in the opening game of the set with 26. He was the only guy that scored more than 11 points in that opening game. Number one, 17, 6, and 7 last night for the big man for Houston. The Rockets even up this series. Both of the opening two games of this series, DRS, the total has stayed well under. In fact, one team has failed to score even 95 points to start off this series. As we look at other things, DRS, as where this series stands, the Warriors minus 178 now as your series outright favorites. They entered game two after winning game one on the road as a minus 350 outright favorite. Of course, they even started the series as that outright favorite, part of the Rockets referendum.
It's blowing my mind right now to see that graphic and see the odds where you just saw Jimmy Butler's down. We don't know how long he's going to be out. And they're still saying after getting routed in game number two, it doesn't matter. The Warriors are so far and away the better team as the seventh seed. It doesn't make sense. We are in uncharted territory in the history of modern sports betting with this setup right now. And I love every minute of it.
Warriors a 3.5-point home favorite for game number three on Saturday. The rest of the postseason next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Game number two last night inside TD Garden at the home of the reigning NBA champs, and some pretty big news last night for Boston. Jason Tatum, who got injured late in the opening game of this series on Sunday with a wrist injury, listed as doubtful when we were live yesterday on TEL, was ruled out midway through the afternoon. The first playoff game, DRS, for Jason Tatum in his NBA career. Drafted in the summer of 2017, has been with Boston for every playoff trip the Celtics have made in the last 7 years, played 114 playoff games entering game number two. At the end of game number one, missed his first career playoff game last night. So how would the Celtics respond? It wasn't as though they were an underdog or even a single-digit favorite at home against the Orlando Magic. But they did move from a 13-point favorite after winning game one by 17 to just a 10.5-point favorite for game number two. No Tatum, yeah. No issue outright. Boston wins 109-100 behind a very big night from the other Jay in Jaylen Brown. A late Paolo Banchero layup with about 10 seconds remaining in regulation gives Orlando the cover. It was the final bucket of the game, 9-point margin. The Magic cover as a 10.5-point dog.
Yeah, it's hard to size up the Magic for this series because nobody even gave them a chance to win it, and rightfully so. Like, Boston is just so much better. So you're trying to take it with a grain of salt. Like, okay, game number one didn't work out. Game number two, they stayed within the number, which is fine. They'll probably be competitive in Orlando for games three and four, and maybe the Celtics slow play Jason Tatum, so it gives the opportunity for maybe the Magic to steal one of those because the regular season was okay, and that's exactly what 41-41 is for the Magic. We do know they have a couple of good players, but they still need to add on. We know they like to play good defense but struggle to score, and that's always going to ramp its head up when you play a team like Boston that can seize you on defense and say, all right, Paolo Banchero, shoot 25 times, get yours. Franz Wagner, shoot 20 times, get yours. Nobody else is going to score, and that's what you're finding. So it might even be just a theater to watch where they get to the century mark, which they barely got last night and late, just enough to get the cover. It's hard to judge because we know the Celtics are good. They will advance. I don't want it like, you know, glom on to the Magic saying, well, come on, you got to show us more. This is exactly what we thought. They'd be down 0-2 by the time they got back to their own building. Game number three will be interesting because I always talk about that, the kitchen sink game where you know if they really want to make that last stand and have that big first quarter, have the halftime lead to show them, hey, Celtics, we're not going away, or do they just fold up? Because if the Magic go down 0-3 in the series, the Celtics will smash them in game number four just to end it because Orlando won't want to get back on a plane and play a meaningless basketball game where they probably get drubbed by 25-plus points. Like the Magic's heart last night, stay within the number, played hard all night. They just don't have the talent the Celtics have, even without their best player. There's no shame in that.
Yeah, it is a good point, DRS. And we saw last night's total be a real representation of old-school playoff basketball, 196.5. For Orlando to even get to the century mark, Now, that was something. It does sky over as it stayed well under on Sunday afternoon in Beantown. Orlando only scoring 86 points in that game, and DRS combining for 59 of those 86 points in game number one, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. Combining for 57 of the 100 points last night for the Magic, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. 32 points out of Banchero, Wagner had 25. Not only just 57 of 100 points, DRS, 45 of the 82 total field goals. The Magic right now really playing a two-man show and not getting a ton of help elsewhere. Without Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown delivered 36 points, 5 made triples, 10 rebounds as well. He was the shining star for the Celtics last night and a guy we highlighted off the bench, who is the best bench player in the NBA this year, the sixth man of the year award winner, Peyton Pritchard, over his points prop of 11.5, finishing with 14. And how many made threes, DRS? Exactly
three. Three, it's exactly what we talked about. So those are some of those underlying metrics, Ben, likes that I liked yesterday as well. Because you take a look at, for me, it was Peyton Pritchard make three or more three-point shots last night. Very manageable, like that minus 110, minus 115 price. And then you take a look on the opposite side. Ben pointed out Anthony Black at 11 points when his number was ultra-low there as well. So even if you're not taking the sides themselves, there are some players that you think can participate and have some fun, which those bench guys did yesterday. Magic hung around, showed a lot of heart. I just want to see game three. Like, if Tatum doesn't show up in game number three, I want to see what that line is going to be at game time and also how serious the Magic are about, you know what? Let's make this a series or at least make Boston sweat a little bit.
You would think, DRS, right now, looking at game number three, that the odds makers are not expecting Jason Tatum because Boston is only a 5.5-point favorite. In full strength, of course, for Sunday's opener, the Celtics were around a 12.5, 13-point home favorite. I understand they are now changing a venue to head to Orlando tomorrow night, but only 5.5 points, that probably means no Tatum. The rest of that series into Cleveland next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The reigning NBA champs, now just two wins away from winning the opening round set in their title defense here in the NBA playoffs. The Celtics take a 2-0 series lead last night with a 9-point home win over Orlando. DRS, we were really debating, would we even see five games in this series with or without Jason Tatum fully healthy, dealing with that wrist injury? Right now, the odds makers expecting it to be a four-game sweep. Boston now a minus 3,000 favorite to win this series outright. They entered last night at minus 8,000. The big difference, DRS, despite being a 10.5-point home favorite, Boston to win in four was a plus money price yesterday for that straight sweep, and Boston to win in the gentleman's sweep fashion in five with some questions around the status of Jason Tatum. Wasn't all that far behind. Now, as the Celtics handle their business, really kind of comfortably in control for most of the second half for the second consecutive game, the Celtics to win in a clean sweep in only four games is minus 114, as you see there.
Yeah, and also, you usually would like to say, like, okay, well, give me some of the numbers for how Orlando actually plays at home. They're 22-19. It's like, that's kind of interesting. Like, if you have a 41-41 record, you figured, Ben, you really handled your business at home because you're not that great a team, and you sort of got some wins on the road. That wasn't the case. And then you take a look at the Boston Celtics and say, man, they were really good at home at 28-13. But even better on the road at 33-8. Now, understand this. We're dealing with Jason Tatum, one of the best, you know, top five players, let's just say, in the NBA, and he's not going to be there. That will help. And also from a psyche perspective for the Orlando Magic, saying, you know what? We're on our home court here. Tatum's not going to be there. We really think we can steal this game. We played within single digits without him in Boston. I think this game might be even tougher, which, again, reflective in the opening numbers that we're looking at, it shouldn't be a runaway for the Boston Celtics. But if we're expecting just that massive home court advantage for Orlando, it really wasn't there in the regular season. And Boston's not like, hey, we only lost two games on our home court, and we still handled our business on the road with a decent record. They were phenomenal on the road. So that might hold up as well. But it still is very hard to sweep a team in the NBA playoffs and do it without your best player. Is anybody going to look at the Celtics differently, Ben? If they lose game three, win game four, and game number five, like, oh, man, It took them five games to beat Orlando. Come on now, without Jason Tatum. Like, no, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's a quick, clean gentleman sweep, which they will take. I'm still not sure, though. Orlando just has enough firepower to say, we can get into a 125-123 game with Boston and beat them. They need that ugly, sloppy game, which is still hard to beat Boston in.
In DRS, I think that's the issue, right? There was a thought that maybe the Magic could force at least a fifth game in a return trip to TD Garden because of how sound they are defensively. They've been good defensively, but they scored 86 in game one, led by really only Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. They got to the century mark in game two, but it's really only Banchero and Wagner, and it's not like the Celtics have gone off for 140 points. Heck, even 120, 103 and 109 in Orlando just doesn't have enough on the other side to technically keep pace, despite the fact they did end up with a road cover last night against the Celtics. Donnie, this is what we have seen out of Boston. Last year in their run to an NBA championship, four series, 19 total games, 16 wins, three losses. They have won both of their first two games in this postseason, 18-3 straight up now in their two past postseasons, and in terms of their cover margin, 11-9-1 against the spread. We expected it to be comfortable for the Celtics, and it is. Are we just still waiting our time, DRS, until we get to that Eastern Conference Finals matchup we have presumed would be the set since about December or January? Because the Celtics are up 2-0, as are the Cavaliers. But it hasn't been necessarily easy for Cleveland in either of their two games against the 8 seed, the Miami Heat. Cleveland wins last night in game number two to take that 2-0 series advantage, 121-112. Second consecutive 30-point performance out of Spida, Donovan Mitchell leading the way for the Cavaliers. The Cavs did win by 21, covering as a 12.5-point favorite in the opening game of this set. Last night, a 12-point home favorite did not cover against Miami. Both of the games in this series has gone over. Only series so far that we have seen two overs in each of the opening two games. And again, they pulled away late. They made the plays when it matters. That's championship caliber out of the Cavs, DRS. But this was just a one possession, 2-point game with about 3 minutes remaining.
Yeah, and also, you take a look at this game where I was getting a little bit nervous where that cover was going to be blown because Cleveland was blowing out Miami. Like, oh, no, they're just not going to show up even for the second half of this game. But they did fight back, and credit them for doing that. And also, Tyler Hero, 40 minutes played, 14 of 24 from the floor, 4 of 11 from three-point range, 33 points. They needed every bit of those points here to stay within that number. And as you talked about, Boston meeting up with Cleveland, it's almost one where I like the first round of the playoffs because just about every night it feels like we're getting a triple header, which is fantastic. And then as you move forward, they turn into double headers and then single games and then one every other game. You get that. But I do want the Eastern Conference to move quickly here. Like, I want gentleman sweep or less for Cleveland every round. And the same thing for the Boston Celtics. Hopefully Jason Tatum comes back. He's completely healthy sooner than later because we're going to be set up for an unbelievable Eastern Conference final, which Cleveland will have home court advantage. I don't see any team stressed out, extra injuries. That would blow that for me because it has been two teams the entire season in the Eastern Conference. We're just waiting them to battle for supremacy when they get there. And hopefully they do. Good win for Cleveland. Good win for Boston. Yeah. Hopefully Tatum's back. But we are careening to the course that everybody wants to see in the East. Cleveland versus Boston.
And when you look at the numbers last night, DRS, for the Cavaliers, 30 points out of Donovan Mitchell, 21 points and 9 dimes from Darius Garland, 20.6 boards for Evan Mobley. Our guy Ty Jerome, only 6 points off the bench, but maybe we get a depressed number for the game number 3 and maybe for the entirety of this postseason after 28 points and only 26 minutes in game number 1. I mention all of that because the Cavs are playing basketball the way they should, handling the business as they should. Just because they did not cover last night does not demean the effort. Tyler Hero on the other side, 33 points, game two's leading scorer. Some interesting comments, DRS, from Darius Garland after the game. He was asked, hey, it was tight, it was competitive once again, certainly in that final stretch in the fourth quarter. What are you guys telling yourselves in that moment to pull away and ice out the game? And he goes, go after Tyler Hero. Go after their weak defenders. You got to love some of that drama here in the opening round of the postseason. Again, Miami is down 0-2. We know what the Heat have done in playoffs past. And Donnie, when you look at the series odds right now, Cleveland up 2-0, a minus 20,000 favorite, much like Boston entering game two, minus 8,000 last night. The Cavs are expected to make this quick. In fact, Cleveland, which I find odd, has a better price to sweep Miami, minus 122, then Boston has a better price to sweep Orlando, minus 114. I think, Donnie, if you're looking for a sprinkle, five games at plus 176 would make some sense. The Heat have not been blown out in this game. They trailed by 17 at the break last night. They carved their way back. Different story than game number one, when they were really in it for a good majority of 36 to 40 minutes before the Cavs pulled away in the fourth quarter. I think Miami can win one in South Beach to force a return trip to Cleveland.
Yes, and they can, and it really seems like you probably should just be betting money line on these teams in game number three, because once you're down 0-3, you don't realize you're coming back.
Sure.
And you're not down 0-3 like in the NBA Finals, like, hey, man, we don't know if we can get back. We're a great basketball team. We just didn't play well for three games. Let's take this one game at a time. You can't really take it one game at a time with the Miami Heat at 37-45 in the regular season going up against the one seed. You know your fate, and it's just about sealed, which means I would rather get on vacation than go back to Boston at this point. So if I'm betting these things, I think they all get the game number fives with some of these Eastern Conference games. I'm just betting game number three for money line outright, because if they don't win game, they are nowhere coming near winning game number four.
Great point, DRS. If Miami is going to force a fifth game, technically they could have two spots of doing so, game three or game four. But Donnie's right. In these opening round sets, this is the time for resilience. Miami, a 6.5-point home dog on Saturday afternoon, plus 205 money line. It is draft day next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.
It is draft day in the National Football League. The 2025 NFL Draft begins tonight in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Opening night, opening round, and we will get you set with everything you need to know live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. We'll show you where the markets have moved. We will talk about if the odds are solidifying the picture for tonight's round number one, all of the trends you must know, and of course, some winning wagers where value might still be available in those draft markets on the FanDuel Sportsbook. DRS, draft day has come here in 2025.
It has. I got to tell, like, everybody has memories of, like, their draft night, which I had early spring 2000. Yeah. Family was gathered around. We were watching the draft, and the phone never rang for me, man. It just didn't ring. So I realized at that moment my football career was officially over. But so many players tonight will not have that memory. That phone will ring. They'll be off to a new city. Millionaires minted and made, and it's a big night. And also, the bad football teams out there who struggled last year, their fan base is like, man, this is such a boring thing that we had. You get to fulfill that prophecy of hope for your future, whether it's a dominant defensive end, an unbelievable wide receiver cornerback combination, a quarterback that can light your franchise up for the first time since Steve Air McNair and maybe get you to a Super Bowl. So those teams that struggled last year in the fan bases didn't have a lot of fun tonight is your fun tonight, and we'll see what happens.
It's a great point, DRS, and it is not hyperbole to say that the future of the National Football League will be shaped forever tonight by the correct decisions or by those poor mistakes in the draft order as well. Your franchise's future could be altered on this Thursday night in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in the shadows of Lambeau Field in Titletown. And DRS, one of the stories of the very start of this 2025 NFL draft is the lack of movement in that draft order. For the first time in the common draft era that dates all the way back to 1967, every single NFL franchise holds its original first round selection on draft day. Heck, not even draft day, at the start of the league year, which comes each and every year on the calendar in the middle of March. So, as we're talking about every single NFL franchise, let's put up the draft order that we have for tonight's first round. There you see it, DRS, 1 through 32. Yeah. All 32 teams have that original first-round pick. There has not been a trade either from years previous or during this specific draft cycle at the end of the 2024 NFL season, getting ready for 2025 and beyond.
Exactly. Love to see the draft board up there, all the logos there. And if you're just watching this network, this show this morning, and have no idea what American football is, you might ask yourself a question here, Ben. And that question would be, is like, how do you get the draft order, and why are the Eagles picking 32nd? Why? They're the best football team in the world, which is the way it's supposed to be. And I hope when the Eagles select 32nd, and whenever it's the second round or the third round or the fourth round, when you get to bring up players from your past to announce it, they understand the task at hand, like we used to see with David Akers telling the Dallas Cowboys fans, yes, the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, it's a good night to draft 32nd. Why? Because the best football team in the NFL resides in Philadelphia.
When you draft 32nd, it means you won a Lombardi trophy. It means that Donnie Wrightside will have a second replica Lombardi maybe in that set, as we get ready for a Friday or a Monday on the early line. Let's dive even deeper, DRS, examining the top 10, because we'll look at the odds in just a moment. We have draft odds for every single overall pick, 1 through 10. Here are the teams and where they stand. Might we see movement on draft day? Probably unlikely.
I hope.
As the draft begins, now that is a very, very different story. DRS, during the draft, we have averaged 5.6 trades in every single draft since 2020. The last five during the actual draft, after the first team goes on the clock, we have averaged 5.6 trades. We have seen a trade and a half on average up or within the top 10 in every single draft since 2011. It's all quiet now on that draft front in Green Bay, but that could very well change in just about 12 hours or so.
It can, and also, like, we need that intrigue. That's what makes draft night fun. Like, you have unbelievable superstar front-end talent that we expect to go in the top five, and that's if we'll talk about Ashton Jeanty gets the five, who's now the favorite to be drafted fifth overall. By what team? Maybe it's Jacksonville, maybe somebody trades up. But you want to set this night up where somebody has their hand in the bag right off the bat, and it's like, we have a trade. Number two, Cleveland moves out. Oh, my goodness. That would set the night up so well. And even if we get 1, 2, 3 in the same order we predicted here, isn't four still that wild card right there with the Patriots? If they move out and trade, who is it going to be? Did somebody move in there to take Shador? Did somebody move up to take Ashton Jeanty because they can't wait till five because Jacksonville's going to be there? Or does Jacksonville go from 5 to 4 because they know somebody's going to jump them from Ashton Jeanty? Just give us that explosion to start the draft, because the one thing we do love is throughout all these rounds, veteran players will be moved for draft picks, which is always fun to talk about. And sometimes midway through the first round, really good football players get traded for a first round pick. We don't know who that's going to be, but the expectations are there. But just give us, Ben, one of those highlights in the top five where somebody moves up and we're not technically sure who it's actually for. That's what we need tonight.
Absolutely so. DRS, 1 through 3 feels rather solidified. The Titans, Browns, Giants in that order. The Patriots at 4, maybe. 5, the Jacksonville Jaguars have been called the wild card of this opening round and certainly in the top 5. Following Jacksonville, the Raiders select 6th, Jets 7th, Panthers 8th, the Saints at 9 and the Chicago Bears round out the top 10. DRS, we'll talk about 6 through 10 in just a moment. But 1 through 5, as of this draft morning, if the odds makers are this confident, are we going to see any surprises in those first 5 picks? Cam Ward, on the day of the draft, it's all but a matter of time until we get official confirmation that Cam Ward is going first overall. A minus 50,000 favorite. And those odds are as up-to-date as you can be, DRS, but they're even stronger. Travis Hunter, now minus 2,000. Abdul Carter, now minus 2,000 to go second and third, respectively. Will Campbell, minus 600 as the fourth overall pick. And Ashton Jeanty is now a minus 230 favorite to go fifth overall. Those odds and the rest and the other big storylines for draft day. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Live right here, it is NFL draft day on the early line on Sports Grid. What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm getting into the draft right now. Like, just talking about it, getting the vibes going. We've been talking for months about the same things. We just need some mayhem. We just need some top mayhem in this draft to set it off. Like, Ben, what happens if you get word? Later tonight, you're setting up, you're in the studio, maybe having a pregame meal, and you get word from one of our insiders at the Sports Grid Network that the number one pick is officially now for sale. Like, can't we have something like that that would just break brains and shatter expectations? Why can't we have this?
I don't know if we'll have that, DRS, but I do think we will see some movement, maybe in the top 5 and maybe even in the top 10. 24 consecutive NFL drafts. Basically the entirety of this millennium where we have seen a team trade within or into the top 15, at least on draft night or even before, but we're not expecting anything to happen prior to 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight in Green Bay. If they are trading into the top 5, top 10, who might that prospect be they are targeting? DRS, as the odds makers have shown, we have basically figured out the top 5. Cam Ward, minus 50,000 to go first overall. Travis Hunter, minus 2,000 now to go second. Abdul Carter, minus 2,000 now to go third. Will Campbell, minus 600 as that favorite to go fourth. In the big news yesterday, really in the last 24 to 36 hours, the Jacksonville Jaguars seem more infatuated with the running back Ashton Jeanty. Now a minus 230 favorite to be that fifth overall pick. Donnie, is that exactly what the top 5 of the draft order is going to look like? Or might there be a stunning surprise in just 12 hours?
The surprise, I don't think, is coming from the top 3. Now let's play it out how it should work. Like, Cam Ward minus 50,000, we've known for a long time. That's Tennessee's guys. They made that known. That's why the number is there. And I don't think anybody's trading up to get him. It would be too expensive, and maybe other teams aren't sold as much as the Tennessee Titans. Number 2 is Travis Hunter. I don't think that's going to change now. And rightfully so. A couple weeks ago, I thought that pick should have been Abdul Carter, and maybe somebody trades up to get him. I don't think anybody's trading up and using huge draft capital, to get Travis Hunter. I think he stays stays there. But the intriguing position to me really is the Giants and Abdul Carter at number three. Other teams around the NFL might seem like it could be a bargain to go up and get him, and how much are the Giants absolutely in love? And the reason I say this, I think he's the best player in the draft. You might say, Donnie, what do you mean? Why wouldn't the Giants be in love with what you say is the best player in the draft? It's at a position that's not of need for the Giants when there's quarterbacks on the board, which means do I trade out, get extra draft capital, still get a great player in the middle of the first round, still have enough capital to trade back into the first round with why I moved back from three where it doesn't really cost us anything? I think the Giants could be the true wild card at number three. If they draft Abdul Carter, it's a great pick because he's a great player. But I do think there's the maneuverability where it's like, we technically don't need him, but we'll take him. But if somebody gives us a pretty good number at three to slide back a couple spots, recoup a first-round draft pick, and get the guy that we really need, I think that might make some sense there, Ben.
Yeah, it really could, DRS. Again, for these teams that maybe don't have the most optimistic outlook for the upcoming NFL season, and you've got a lot of roster spots that need attention, if somebody wants to move up the draft board, then you could fill out and get a ton more draft capital if you decide to move back. But with that being said, DRS, oftentimes the move up is for a quarterback or at least an offensive player. In fact, on draft night in the last 15 years, the first move up the draft order, whether that be by a spot or a couple on draft night, 12 of the 15 times it has been for an offensive player, namely a quarterback. But in 2023, we saw the first move up the draft board to third overall, the Texans selecting Will Anderson Jr. If the top five feels rather solidified, how about 6 through 10? We have no minus money favorites, and we have seen a lot of movement, both in prices and players, DRS, overnight. Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive lineman out of Texas, now the favorite to go sixth overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. At the time of us filling out this show last night, Armon Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, was a minus money favorite to go sixth. He is now the favorite to go seventh. Mason Graham, incredibly intriguing. The favorite to go eighth overall, the interior D lineman from Michigan at a plus 170 price. Mykel Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia, plus 260, and Tyler Warren, the Mackey Award winner from Penn State, plus 300 as the favorite to go 10th to the Bears.
And I'm telling you, a lot of people just saw that graphic and are saying who he played for at this point, and myself included. I'm telling you right now, if we didn't talk about these names for about a week or two, I wouldn't know any of these players, who they played for, what position they're in. That's not a good look.
Hour number two, NFL draft discussion, next.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.